Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
And Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
There's a first question any play caller worth his salt has to ask. Maybe we're lucky in a particular host he's listening on the app today. It is the Chuck Oliver Show on a Tuesday. Appreciate everybody getting in here talking college football. And, yes, there is a first question. Any new play caller new to a quarterback has to ask. And it's the same first question almost regardless of details. What do you do well? And down in Coral Gables so far, Josh Gattis seems very much about what he himself wants the offense to be. And I mean right now. Now, the specs of this, if you have not watched Miami, and we'll talk to David Lake, me and me go down in Miami from InsideTheU.com, just a tremendous source. Always love catching up with David. Very measured individual, and I just appreciate the information. So that's what we're after here. The specifics, the specs of what has happened or not with the Miami offense so far this season. Tyler Van Dyke rocks and rolls when you play a particular brand of football. Now, I understand that he's the quarterback, and you know, even like the stud, you know, run away from everybody. I'm a burner in the, you know, I can outrun everybody on the field. That sort of running back. I understand. At some point, I'm going to ask you to block, and you have to be able to block. I get it. That ain't really why I have Ezekiel Elliott in the game. It's just not. So understand. When I say this is what TVD does, yes, you need to be able to function and be versatile and resilient and diverse and you know, all of this stuff, and we all know it is true. Quarterback's different because quarterbacks can have wildly different approaches and individual skills while playing the exact same position. So that's why the same first question, when I say almost regardless of any details, hi, I'm Josh Gattis. In this case, it's the same everywhere. If you're a Class A high school team in Louisiana and you hire a new offensive coordinator or you promote the ninth grade coach or you have a quarterback transfer in from down the street, in that scenario, hi, I'm the new OC. What do you do well? Because my understanding is you're going to be the quarterback. Well, it's no different just because Josh Gattis makes a whole lot more money and we watch their games most Saturdays. And right now, Josh Gattis seems to be about what he does. Now, this is Tyler Van Dyke. This is how he rocks and rolls. Put him in the gun, I believe. Put him in the gun, but he can operate under center if you want that as well. But snap it, throw it. Snap it, throw it. Snap it, then try for a shot play. There you go. When he got hot last year, which was like, you know, the final 2 months of the season after De'Aaron got hurt, when Tyler Van Dyke got hot last year, go back and watch that. Do you know what it was? It was a lot of him in the gun. Snap it, throw it. Snap. It was almost like if you ever watched Arena League, which has been gone now for about 5 years, do you know what that game was? It was snap it, throw it. And if the offense, they had wide receivers, they also had a tight end, and they had something called an offensive specialist. He's the guy that could run in motion towards the line. There was a quarterback who played for Tennessee about 20 years ago named Annie Kelly. Actually, longer than that, and he was a really good quarterback. But at the end of his Arena League career, here was Andy Kelly. And it was one of those scenes, like the arena lights weren't even on, and I heard something snapping and popping, and it was Andy Kelly about 2 hours before kickoff out there trying to stretch. And so his game at that point, snap it to him, special ball out of bounds. He's like, I ain't getting hit anymore. Snap it, throw it. Every quarterback has a slightly to extremely different approach and skill set. And any time there is a play caller new to that QB. What do you do well? With Tyler Van Dyke, snap it, throw it, go for a shot play up top. Josh Gattis, if you haven't watched or maybe you haven't charted plays or haven't read the breakdowns, I will describe the Josh Gattis approach. By the way, every approach can be right, but the right approach is the one that your quarterback does well. Here's Josh Gattis. Very heavy on slower developing plays without a lot of outlets. That's the very boiled down version, and it's pretty dang accurate too. And do you know how that works to the highest degree? If you have a pair of 1,000-yard rushers and one of the best pass protection fronts in the game, and you like stacking three tight ends and sending one player into the pattern sometimes, and, hey, we'll just block it up and it'll work. You know, like if you watched Michigan last season. It really worked at Michigan because you know what they had? Two stud running backs, a couple of quarterbacks actually as well. But an offensive line that was, oh, yeah, that's Michigan, and that's a typical Michigan offensive line. So what are we going to do? We're going to block it up. And when you have five offensive linemen, one running back, and two tight ends, do you know what? That's called max protect. And even a not very skilled quarterback, if he has 8 minutes to make every read, he's going to make it. And so sometimes you send one or two targets downfield. You know what that's called? A slower developing play because we're going to block them, so we have extra time. Are you going to give them some outlets? Well, we're not going to need outlets because of the principle of, well, you can't cover forever. And by the way, that's true. You get your pass defense from your pass rush. That's been true since the forward pass was legalized in 1920, or at least adopted and accepted. Pass rush. So the philosophy for Josh Gattis is, well, we'll just hold the pass rush long enough that our one or two receivers are primary and maybe a secondary, but there's not a lot of outlets. And it works if you have that personnel. And that's not Josh Gattis' personnel right now, folks. This checker's not chess. And that's how you lose. That's how you get blown out and decisively in a game without a whole lot of mystery, especially after that fourth down play. That's how you lose at home to Middle Tennessee State. When you're trying square-ish peg, yeah, we'll get it in that triangle shape. Doesn't go. Now, I'm going to expand on this. When I say, what do you do well? And I said, almost regardless of details. Folks, it doesn't matter if you are the play caller and you're new to the quarterback. All right, you just got hired and he was already there, or if he's new to you as a recruit or transfer. Irrelevant. In almost every case, what you do, your offense, that's not the priority, Holmes. The player that you are – now, understand, this is choice involved. What happens after the snap? Okay, it can go flying off the rails. Who knows? But here's the one thing that, as coach, you do get to determine. You get to choose who gets the snap. And sometimes, even in big time like SEC college football, do you know what a coach may have to choose? Mark Stoops is like, hey, wide receiver, why don't you come be the quarterback now? Do you know the impossible nature of what Lynn Bowden did? Was it 3 years ago? Folks, if you don't know, Lynn Bowden, go back and look at the statistics. He came within about 200 yards of doing something that I don't know how you would do it. Lynn Bowden came within, seriously, a couple of hundred passing yards. Now think about this. Lynn Bowden came within about 200 and something yards of leading his team in passing yards, rushing yards, and receiving yards. That's sorcery. All right? And why? Because Kentucky at some point had to make a choice, and their choice was Lynn Bowden's the best quarterback we got. But he's not a quarterback. He is now. Outstanding choice. You know what? It worked. Couldn't throw the ball. It looked like a helicopter blade coming out of his hand. But they made it work. So when I say it almost is irrelevant, remember that this is all based around something. You get a choice. The player that you're choosing to put the ball in his hand every single play. When you are new to this player, it's about what he does well, what he's comfortable doing, what he is confident with, exception if Air Force hires Mike Leach. Okay, otherwise, what do you do well? Hi, I'm Josh Gattis. I'm Chuck Oliver. Hi, I'm Steve, the new offensive coordinator. You're the quarterback? Okay, what do you do well? Because at the beginning, that's what we're going to do. You may never find a better example of a talented, experienced, achieved head coach ignoring that than Rich Rodriguez. God, by the way, Rich Rodriguez, I'm very personally fond of. And I'm talking about like as far as football, playbook, X's and O's. I think he's a really good coach. Personal decisions, minimal discretion there in some cases, it's alleged. But Rich Rodriguez, when he took the Michigan job, remember what he had just done at West Virginia. His alma mater, and I was actually in the building, the relocated Sugar Bowl after the 04 season. That Georgia defense had NFL players all over it. They didn't know if it was coming or going. In fact, YouTube your computer. This will be fun. Go back and watch the West Virginia. You can find a cut-up of anything on YouTube. Go watch the West Virginia offense versus the Georgia defense in that Sugar Bowl. Now, here's the cool part. It's everything evolves so much. It's like you're watching almost a primitive it's a way, way, way more run-based version of what all the RPOs are now. Like if you dig what Ole Miss did with Matt Corral, imagine that with a quarterback who ran it even more and better and throttled back on some of the passing. It's amazing. I've said Illinois, the 07 Illinois team. It's the mustard seed. It's like chapter one and two of where we are now in a 50-chapter book. Rich Rodriguez was a big part of that. Then he took the Michigan job, and he decided that the play sheet was more important than the quarterback. And he looked at a guy like Ryan Mallett, who, I mean, my gosh, that guy, he didn't always do himself all the best favors, but you know what Ryan Mallett was? Big, tall guy with an NFL arm who you could win with. And Rich Rodriguez decided he was going to run his Pat White West Virginia offense at Michigan, which was fine because, I mean, folks, the plays work. Except he's running them with Nick Sheridan now instead of Pat White. So you got to do something. Either you had to have a different quarterback that year or you needed to call different plays. And you may as well have kept Ryan Mallett, which would have been the right thing to do because why? He plays quarterback. Instead, he's like, nope, we're going to rip this thing down the field with Tate Forcier. And so the play, I mean, I would watch it. It's there. It's open. Except it was a four-yard gain instead of a touchdown. Because it's the Big Ten, and that's kind of how they play defense. So Rich Rodriguez, even a guy like that, who I look at and go, he's a good coach, and he is a good coach. He never consistently got the quarterback he wanted at Arizona, but he's a good coach. He just got the first question wrong. He showed up at Michigan and said, well, you're 6'7". We won't be running my offense with you. Instead of looking at Ryan Mallett and saying, what do you do well? All right, we're going to take a quick break, come back. More of the Chuck Oliver Show next on this Tuesday.
Catch the king of college football no matter where you go with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
Here's a blitz. They beat it. Hyshaw. Oh, they trumped him. What a wonderful play call. Hyshaw spinning. Look at Hyshaw go! What a play by Daniel Hyshaw!
One of the plays of the weekend, and what a tremendous weekend it has been. And I got to say, put a bow on the first month of the college football season. And it's a different feel. If you want to say feel, vibe, empirical data, whatever. It is an entirely different situation we have right now than most of the conversation in the offseason or the past couple off seasons about what's wrong with the game and where it's headed. There are big picture issues you can talk about all day, but as far as the on-field product and the entertainment level, been fantastic. 2022 season has done nothing but please so far, and that was Daniel Hyshaw. He busted loose the other day for a long run. That was a reception on that one. That was a catch and run. So 73 yards on the reception. Hyshaw gets in the end zone. He also was the leading running back as far as rushing yards for Kansas on Saturday. Improved to 4-0. Kansas, yeah, this is football we're talking, 4-0, defeating previously undefeated Duke. So 35-27 was the final. And I will have to tell you, there's a couple of things about Kansas Jayhawks. If the Heisman was a September thing, it would have a most unexpected home. Like Lawrence, Kansas. Jayhawks quarterback Jalen Daniels. He's the best player in college football right now. The kid has been unbelievable. And he's not supposed to still be at Kansas. He's supposed to be like a lot of other talented kids who in the offseason is like, and I don't fault anybody. Kids are looking. Did you see the ACC weekly awards came out? You didn't see them. If you did, I'll remind. Chico Bennett, defensive lineman of the week for the entire Atlantic Coast Conference. Chico Bennett from Virginia. Chico Bennett, who was at Georgia Tech. So if you talk about like stinging just a little bit more salt there for Jeff Collins or any Yellow Jackets fan, on the weekend that your program made the really expensive $10 million decision to pull the plug, a guy who used to play for you is like, yeah, I got to find something better for me. And he made his deal. And he went from, if you care about this, and I got to be, I'm not being dismissive of education. I'm saying each kid gets to make his own choice. If you care about education, he went from Georgia Tech to Virginia, elite to elite. So good for him. But that's not what it was about. It's about football. And so Chico decided, I'm going to get something better for me. A lot of kids in Lawrence, Kansas, you know what they decided? They want to get something a little better for them. And so they hit the bricks, and I guess some of them found it. Because, again, the portal door, except in Clemson with one case, the portal door does swing both ways. There are teams that somehow lost the portal. I've talked about my team. My team lost the portal. How do you lose the portal if you're an SEC team? My team lost the portal so far. Coy Moore was supposed to be something. I heard that he was maybe LSU's third or fourth receiver, and he may come in and be the one. Like Demetrius Robertson, when he transferred to Auburn, I think there was a concerted effort to let him eat. Demetrius Robertson ran fast in a straight line. And so early in the season against some beatable opponents, they were like, let's stack some stats to make the kid and build a resume that if you transfer in here, we're going to take care of you. And so, like, Mike Norvell, ain't nobody building a resume like he is. Because you're looking at Jermaine Johnson last year. You're looking at Fabian Lovett. You're looking at Burse. You're looking at people transfer down to play to Mike Norvell. Not Florida State. Mike Norvell, and, it kind of happens for him. Auburn. Portal door mostly swung the other way because Coy Moore, who was going to be our one, same thing with Demetrius Robertson, by the way. He was like the six in Athens. The seven? The eight? The nine? I got a Georgia, an interested party from the Georgia program here, and he kept not a little lower. You're being horrible now to a really good kid. So, but he was a talented enough kid to be on scholarship. He wasn't a difference maker. He could run fast in a straight line. Coy Moore, this is the funny thing. It was supposed to sort of be like, you know, the same profile at least as Demetrius. He's going to transfer in, and he's going to be your one. And the commentary was like Tavian Feaster when he transferred to South Carolina. I was like, he's your one. Do you realize that Clemson's third or fourth tailback just became your one? It's just a measuring stick that sort of gives you the perspective of where we are as a roster. Folks, Coy Moore transferred, again, under the banner of he's LSU's four, he'll be Auburn's one. He's Auburn's four or five or six. Like, if you see one SEC third-team receiver on that entire roster, let me know. So there are teams that lose the portal. Kansas loses the portal every time it's open. Jalen Daniels stayed. And Jalen Daniels right now, he's not the biggest kid in the world. I don't know what he is as a Sunday. I don't care if he – I hope he gets game checks and a pension and everything else. My concentration's on Saturday. Jalen Daniels right now is completing 71% of his passes. Now, stats with a quarterback can be indicators, but I've always said there's a ceiling on what you really get. You need to watch the kid play. But Jalen Daniels, 71% of his pass completions, 11 touchdowns, one pick. He's run for 320 yards and four touchdowns in four games. And Kansas is 4-0, including going on the road in the conference and winning in overtime. That's not nothing. So, what is Kansas right now? And the reason I'm bringing this up, we got Dave Bartu coming on in about 5 minutes, and it's hour one on a Tuesday, so it's Bartu Day. Kansas is 4-0. If you care, they're in first place in the Big 12. But I do care a little bit because they are 1-0 in the conference. And so, am I now penciling in Kansas for one of the playoff seeds? Not likely. What are their chances for a New Year's Six Bowl? Minimal. I will not be a wet blanket here, but I'm going to tell you, because it's college football, and I've always said this. If you know the story of Chaminade, go look up Chaminade, Virginia. Just Google it. Chaminade, Virginia. That can happen because it was basketball. Do you know who won the College World Series about four or five years? Coastal Carolina. Do you know why? Because it's baseball. That didn't happen in football. Football is the one sport where I can put my hands on you and move you to a different patch of grass. That means bigger, stronger, faster wins virtually all the time. There's a chance Kansas wins all of its remaining eight games. But what I know is they're well coached. And the reason I want to talk about Kansas is because Lance Leipold, the head coach, because they're 4-0 and have experienced some success, and they actually beat a really good Houston team, in my opinion, and a good enough West Virginia and Duke team as well. They could go 0-8, like go look at their – could lose out. They're still well-coached, and Lance Leipold is still a guy that, despite the contract he signed 3 months ago, he will be high on everybody's list.
This morning in North Carolina, wheels are spinning. Determination is winning. A passion is now a thriving business, and it shows no signs of slowing down. How? The power of a conversation, like the one Clint Spiegel had with First Horizon Bank about starting a bike wheel manufacturing facility in Asheville. Now it's not just talk, it's rubber meets road. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Clint. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Tuesday on the Chuck Oliver Show, and you know what it is. Bottom of hour one. Except for, let's see, he was in Hawaii for his anniversary at one point, and there have been just random and sundry Tuesdays that he's missed. Last week he was out hunting caribou or something, stalking elk. So that means for me, I got sausage and jerky on the way, but we also have great conversation about something that is already emerging. It's not supposed to be emerging last week of September, but there's a coaching carousel that has already been cranked up. Want to welcome on the man that is College Football Matrix. Get him on Twitter at CFB Matrix. Dave Bartu, amigo, how are you?
Brother Chuck, I am doing great. Back in quote-unquote civilization now, and shaved the beard off, took a shower, and we're ready to roll back into college football. Not that I didn't scoreboard watch every Saturday. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. You'd have been laughing two Saturdays ago where I went to hunt. I knew I could get cell phone signal. So
you watch Bo spin it.
I was scoreboard watching all Saturday. I had my solar pack on my backpack to keep my phone charged. I always kept in cell signal so I could scoreboard watch football throughout the day.
How many nights sleeping out under the trees there?
Oh, nine.
Good night. All right.
Yeah, nine. We only had 2 days of rain, so seven of them just lay the sleeping bag out on the ground. The rest of the other two had to find a good tree to put the tent under and stay out of the lightning and the rain.
All right. Well, I'm expecting something to show up in the mailbox of the sausage or jerky variety at some point. Let's talk what you do, college football matrix. And I said, I suppose it's not difficult to have seen this happening, as there's more money and more stakes and now more opportunities coming up to be involved in the playoffs. That coaching carousel, the firings are starting earlier and earlier. We're still September, and there, by my count, Dave, is it three Power 5 jobs, Georgia Tech, Nebraska, Arizona State?
Yeah, Auburn's pending, right?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, come on. Let's be honest. They're going to go what, 3-9, 4-8?
Only one team lost that game, but neither team won on Saturday in Auburn. That was just a pretty poor display of football, especially second half.
This is
where we stand right now as far as the coaching openings. There are more coming, but I want to start with somebody who's still employed, and it's interesting because anytime a lower level program hits on a head coaching hiring, Dave, suddenly, like, the first 15 programs with an issue on the sidelines, they all start to claim them. And in this case, it's Leopold at Kansas. I don't know. They signed into a new contract 3 weeks ago. That doesn't mean a whole lot. Tell me what's ahead for Lance Leopold.
Wherever he wants to go. You know, I don't think the carousel is going to be that big this year. I know it started early, right? I mean, we got Georgia Tech, we got Nebraska, we got Arizona State. But how many other jobs? I mean, do you see anybody else in the ACC firing anybody? You know, I mean, you got a new coach at Virginia Tech, you got a new coach at Duke, got a new coach at Miami. Clemson isn't going anywhere. Florida State's not going anywhere. Louisville, that's kind of a tweener. You know, the Big Ten, everything's pretty solid in the Big Ten. I don't see a lot of openings going forward. So, you know, Lance, look, the guy has done really good across the board. You look at his career, his numbers are good. His performance is good. Question mark really only is recruiting and how effective he is at that. But how can you gauge that at Buffalo and Kansas? Yeah. So, obviously, in my opinion, he is on everybody's list. You know, whether it's Arizona State or a Nebraska or a Auburn or a Georgia Tech. Now, going from Kansas to Georgia Tech, that feels lateral, right?
Yeah.
Moving up to Arizona
really
State, yeah. I mean, it's a bottom end recruiter, Kansas and Georgia Tech. So why make that move? Arizona State has a lot of potential, but he's not a West Coast guy, right? You know, is he a Southeast guy? Does Auburn make a lot of sense? And that's a really tough job with Texas and Oklahoma coming in now, you know. And so he's going to have his choice of where he wants to go if he wants to go somewhere, because Kansas can't afford to keep him. I mean, if a Big Ten or SEC team comes calling, they're going to take him if they want him, because Kansas can't afford it. He is one of obviously the hot names, and deservingly so, not just the first four games, but you look at his career and it is stellar.
All right. A totally different scenario in question. And I mean, I assume you use the same metrics, but it's just got to be more difficult to do here. Deion Sanders and Jackson State, and where Deion is coaching next season. You could say Jackson, Mississippi, but I think someone is going to pick up two big old dice and say, let's bring Deion up to the Group of Five or Power Five level, or at least want to offer him. Tell me what any opinion you have about Deion leading a program right now.
I'm fascinated with it. You know, I will admit freely that I laughed at the idea in the first place.
I did too.
Because I didn't know him, right? I didn't know him. I didn't know his commitment. I didn't know how it worked with him. I just saw it as a big show to sell tickets. My mistake. Because, you know, I got the cart in front of the horse on that and didn't let it play out. You look at what he has done. The staff is good. The performance is good. Scoring efficiency on offense is good. Scoring efficiency on defense is good. It's a small sample size for sure. But he has far exceeded my expectations. Now, The other thing that we probably didn't see 3 years ago when he started was the impact of marketing NIL and recruiting kids with it. And you can't tell me he doesn't understand marketing as well as anybody out there, you know, in terms player. So there's an intangible to that that I can't put a number on, but you and I could both agree that that experience for him is a value in today's recruiting world. Will somebody take a risk on him? Yeah. And I don't think it's a terrible risk because I think the fans would be excited about it. And the results have been solid where he's at. The staffing has been solid where he's at. The recruiting has been solid where he's at. He just hasn't been doing it very long at a higher level. So if I was a Group of Five team, oh, yeah, I'm going to take a chance on the guy. There's not even a question. Power Five, little bit bigger of a risk to be jumping into that fire pretty quick, but maybe that's a Georgia Tech kind of thing, you know, because people don't have high expectations for Georgia Tech. Deion might be from that area as well, so it'd really get people excited. So that might be a worthwhile risk.
I want to ask you about the and this may just be your opinion. Maybe you factor it in and you can say, oh, yes, this is what it does to the recruiting pool. But in this case for Georgia Tech I'm just going to use some scenarios. When Pat Fitzgerald gets tired of having that particular job, he'll tell Northwestern, I believe, and he'll move on. That's what I think. So at one of the smarty pants schools, we got academic requirements. Yes, you do. And I'm not being disrespectful here, but there are just some schools around Division I where it's 13th grade. That's just what it is. I'm going to pick one that's not Northwestern or Georgia Tech, okay? If not having academic requirements was all that it required to compete for national titles, Louisville would have multiple flags up. They don't. How do you figure the academic, like Mississippi State, they don't play for the SEC championship every year. They don't have the same academic requirements. So I've always thought that that is something that, while true, it is mostly irrelevant. Just give me your drill down and how you communicate that to programs, if you believe it.
Well, you know, I mean, it's academic requirements are real. I mean, it does put a cap on what you can do, you know. But your brand really dictates where you're going to fall. You know, is Northwestern or Vanderbilt a traditional powerhouse? No. You know, they smarty pants schools? Yeah, sure. They have academic requirements. So does Stanford, top 25 recruiter. So does Notre Dame, top 15 recruiter. Right? Even Georgia Tech. Look, in spite of the lack of success for Collins, this is a guy that actually pulled, I think, two top 35 classes in the last 3 years at Georgia Tech.
He had one that I think was fourth in the ACC, and one was fifth, and then two that were like ninth.
Okay, but last 20 years is ninth is much more common than fourth or fifth.
Oh, absolutely.
Right, you know. So can you take? And it's not just Georgia Tech. You can't take programs that don't recruit in the top 20 and suddenly make them a top 20 recruiter. It doesn't happen overnight, and it rarely happens over time. You know, the idea that the Oregon and the Clemsons that went from a mid-30s, high-30s, low-40s recruiter into the top 15 and staying there is the exception to the rule. It doesn't happen very often. I do believe academic requirements do play a part in it. I mean, that's one of the main reasons why Urban wouldn't go to Notre Dame. Is the academic requirements were too stringent for him to win a national title. That's why he went to Florida. And not that Florida doesn't have high academic requirements, but they gave him the ability to pull guys that didn't meet their requirements while he was there. That's how he won, in my opinion. So it does play a part, but I think sometimes it's overblown in terms of how big of a part it plays. I think the biggest part is how bad does the administration want to win, and will they relax some of them to bring in better football like at Stanford?
And along those lines, and I'm not arguing for or against, I mean, I know why the university exists, but also Saturdays can be kind of fun. So do what you got to do. At Georgia Tech, and again, I'm just giving you Georgia Tech, a local, you know, sort of to me. The conversation is adding additional majors, like add two majors, one in like mass communications, like things that may appeal to an 18-year-old in 2022, and they just don't have a lot of those majors. So, Dave, before we take a break, you're going to come back. We got another segment. We know that. This conversation, if this is the first time somebody is listening to you, you tell them what it is you do and who your clients are, because you're talking to me and our audience right now, but that's not who you usually talk to.
Actually, you know who I'd like to talk to is I'd like to talk to the guy that's going to hire the AD at Georgia Tech. I'd love to help them out, right? But, you know, the 25,000-foot folks is simply I tell stories with numbers. That's it. I'm not an X's and O's guy. I am a numbers guy, and I use past behaviors to predict future outcomes. And I specialize in off-field stuff, coaching, recruiting, officiating behavior. It's all human behavior stuff. So, actually, Chuck, the phone call I got from your producer caught me right in the middle of recording an audio breakdown for another AD in their coaching search. So, right now it is September and it is full bore into coaching search already.
Analytics consultant to coaches, ADs, football ops, players, agents. I represent a special teams coach. He wants to succeed and become an offensive coordinator, et cetera. Here's the scenario we want. Dave, well, will this work for a lot of human beings, whatever role you fill around athletics and college football? If you're talking about moving to a new locale and filling a different role, Dave can give you a pretty good predictive model of how that may turn out. So that's kind of what he does there. He tells pictures of numbers. He says, Dave Bartu, we're going to take a quick break. Come back with more of CFB Matrix next.
Back to Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
It is a Tuesday, and it's football season, and so that's awesome. We're a month into the season. I just want to say this before it gets out of control, because this Saturday afternoon, Rutgers goes to Ohio State. I want to say, and so this means the season's about to go a little sideways. Rutgers lost to Iowa the other day, and they gave up a couple of defensive scores, but they play really good defense, and they're trying to plug along offensively. Just didn't happen. Rutgers is not horrible. And when I talk about Rutgers, I mean, I don't mean to give that as sort of a backhanded compliment, but I don't have the same standards for Rutgers as I do, for instance, Michigan and Ohio State. And they're not horrible. And I don't know. I was optimistic. Maybe I was hoping that Shiano returning to college would be a success. I want to welcome back on right now Dave Bartu. He is CFB Matrix. Let's just talk about some of the teams that maybe have people's attention and what you thought of the coaching regime, maybe when it was brought in, your opinion now. Let's start with Rutgers.
Love the hire to begin with, just because it excited everybody. And Greg wasn't that bad at Rutgers. I think the biggest thing is he turned recruiting there. And it's interesting because that's kind of a smarty pants school, right? You know,
yeah.
I mean, Big East, they're in the Big Ten. But when he was in the Big East, that's a different level of competition, right? He was able to recruit Rutgers into the top end of the Big East, but he still underperformed the talent while he was there. He did change the talent profile, but the winning came as the talent increases, which it should, but the winning never was beyond the talent that he created. So we saw him as a, you know, average coach, good recruiter, but recruiting's changed. They're not in the Big East. They're now in the Big Ten. So it was a good risk for the athletic director. And I always emphasize that because a lot of people forget about it. The guy that's making the hiring of the head coach, he'll go up there on the podium and say, I'm going to do the best thing for Rutgers. Ugh. But what he doesn't say is, I do want to keep my job. So I'm also going to do what's best for me in terms of the risk. So an athletic director that doesn't have a big pile of chips, you know, a guy who hasn't been there very long, he's not going to take a big risk. So Greg was not a big risk. It wasn't a very appealing job because you're not going to win a lot of football games. So I like the hire, but I don't think he's going to accelerate Rutgers beyond the talent that they have right now.
A guy that I am personally fond of, always been real nice with his time and everything else, but Mack Brown, give me the bottom line assessment of what that program is right now. They hadn't figured out defense. They figured out the COVID year. They really did, and they got after some folks that season. Beyond the weirdness, and I don't minimize it, the weirdness of 2020, what do you think that program is right now, and how has that staff performed?
Well, the staff offensively, if it wasn't for – without Phil Longo, did they win football games?
No.
I mean, seriously, come on. You know, I mean, this is a top 20 recruiter that should be perennial top 25 year in and year out, and they haven't solved the defense not one year. It's been horrible. I mean, look, Longo is a top 10 offensive coordinator in college football. If I was North Carolina, I'd probably just let Matt go and just let Phil take it over. Phil's won a lot of football games as a head coach, you know, obviously at a different level, but he certainly has talent there. But defensively, holy moly, you know, it was a bad hire to begin with when you paired the last guy with Longo. And now you bring your buddy Gene back in, and he can't stop a cold. You know, it's just up and down the field. I mean, Notre Dame hasn't scored really all season. And they basically doubled their point total for the season against North Carolina. So, look, Mac's done great things. He was good at Tulane. He had a killer run at Texas. Guy won a national title, for crime's sakes, you know. But it's just not there anymore. It's just not there anymore. And I think the experiment, my opinion, experiment's done. It's not working at all. This team should be so much better than it's been.
Yep.
And they've wasted a lot of years with Phil.
And they have been bringing in some studs. You're right about that. Last guy I want to ask you about, Eli and his staff at Mizzou. You know, I mean, when I asked you after he got hired, I mean, it's sort of the same thing as the athletic director out there. You got to evaluate one season. Really good season, but they hired him, and so now we're a few seasons into it. What is your impression of that program with Eli Drinkwitz as the head coach and that staff?
I think our red flag is coming home to roost, don't you? I mean, one season at App State, and he took over for a guy who ran App State to a bunch of wins. And if you notice, App State, doesn't matter the head coach that comes through there, they keep winning. That App State athletic director, whoever set up that program and runs it, is a genius. Because they go through head coaches, and those head coaches go on to not be very successful. Satterfield hasn't figured it out. Drinkwitz hasn't figured it out. They're both excellent at hiring staff. They're both good recruiters. But, you know, Eli right now, I mean, what are we looking at? Bottom two? I mean, Vanderbilt and Missouri are going to play for dead last in the SEC sometime this year, and that's going to be that.
Dave, tell everybody how to get in touch with you, man.
Well, you can follow me on Twitter anytime, at CFB Matrix, and you can DM me on Twitter anytime. It's wide open. And if you want to just talk college football, hit me on the CFB Matrix, the bat phone, text line, 971-217-8419.
All right, now, finally, because I already got your number, but something for me, if you're old and have creaky shoulders that sound like you're making microwave popcorn, what can you do?
Oh, hempforpros.com, Pro Athletes Hemp Association, specifically focus on pain and inflammation. We designed it for NFL players, NFL alumni, the lotions, the cooling gel, the warming gel. You got inflammation, you got pains. Get yourself some today at hempforpros.com.
And folks, Dave is from way out west in Oregon, but it's legal in all 50. Am I right?
Yep, legal in all 50. We have shipped to all 50. Heck, we've shipped across the pond, too. So anybody, anywhere, anytime, it is the absolute best stuff available.
All right, friend, do it again in 7 days. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, day part two. Get him on Twitter, folks, at CFB Matrix. And so you're already seeing some of the programs that you maybe suspected got the head coaching call right. Well, it's starting to play out there. Greg Schiano is a guy that, I mean, you have to skip now past all the craziness of Jeremy Pruitt, but we remember what happened in Rocky Top, and now it appears Tennessee may have gotten it right. Funny, Josh Heupel, who had less success at UCF, and there was a downward, like a three-season boom, 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 he is still employed at an SEC program where Scott Frost, who took him from, they had an offer. Like three seasons earlier, and then with Scott Frost, he turned it into an undefeated with O'Leary, his final season where O'Leary walked away like halfway through. 3 years later, with Scott Frost in charge, undefeated season. Scott Frost fired. So you look around the nation right now, and there are some programs. Mike Norvell at Florida State is really looking like they got it right. Shiano at Rutgers, Washington State, Fleck at Minnesota. Some of those programs really stand out.
Spring is here, and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
The Fan is ready for Braves season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.